This is The World in Words. I'm Nina Porzuki. So back in 2011, people started posting these videos on YouTube where they would read a list of words and then answer specific questions to test their accent.
Hi, everybody. I've been wanting to do this video for quite some time now, just because lots of people comment on my lovely Scottish accent. So when I saw this tag video going around, I thought, I've got to get on that. So these are the words, and I'm not going to enunciate for you, alright? I'm just going to say them how I would say them. Here it goes. Ant, root, wash, oil, theatre, iron, salmon.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, Exploring the Human Endeavor.
The accent tag video blew up as a meme. It's called an accent tag because usually at the end of each video, the vlogger challenges or tags a friend or another YouTube subscriber to take the accent quiz. And then it goes on and on. Tag, you're it. Well, today there are more than 400,000 of these videos, and they're not just Americans. It has gone viral around the world. Writer Debbie Nathan traced the origin of the accent tag meme, and she wrote about it for the online language journal Schwafire. You should really check out Schwafire if you're interested in language at all. It's great, and it's a relatively new journal. I'll put a link to it on our Facebook page. So Debbie watched hundreds of these accent tag videos in the course of all of her reporting, and what she noticed was it wasn't just people simply taking a quiz. It was actually more of a performance.
What this performance is supposed to do is make a comment on the kind of English that they speak, the kind of regional English or the dialect that they speak.
Uh-huh.
And it really is kind of this fun, proud performance of the different ways that people speak English. The linguists are very impressed by this because most people who haven't studied linguistics have what's called a prescriptivist, that's how the linguists say it, a prescriptivist view of the proper way to speak a language.
Mm-hmm.
And they learn that in school, and they learn that from all kinds of social pressure. And there are dialects in this country, in any country really, that are stigmatized and others that are held up to be the models. And so when people say that they're going to speak their dialect on a YouTube video, that's kind of unusual because they're not being prescriptivist. They're being what linguists call descriptivist, which is what linguists are. To linguists, nothing's right and nothing's wrong. So it's pretty impressive to see a lot of people just sort of being proud of the way they talk.
I'm from New Zealand, so my accent's a little bit different, but, well, I think it is. I don't know what you guys think.
Of course, I do know that I have an accent, and it's probably Chinese accent because I am from China.
I like to think of the Finnish accent as it's almost like the Russian accents, like flat, depressed, suicidal cousin.
This morning, I decided to do the accent tag video. I wasn't tagged, but you know, you didn't have to tag me. As far as I'm concerned, I'm it.
And you actually went back and traced this meme and these questions, because a lot of people, when you see the videos, they're saying the exact same list of words, corpus of words, and then they have a specific list of questions. And you traced those questions, and what did you find when you dug into that?
Yeah, I found out that a linguistics professor who back in the 90s was at Harvard wanted to teach his students about the different class and regional and ethnic dialects in the United States. He wanted to use his students themselves as models for that because he really couldn't find any material available that was not a million years old and was old white farmers mm-hmm. from way back. Huh. So, but then he was discouraged because by the time a student, no matter what isolated place or community they're from, if they can get to Harvard really, really quickly, they change their speech. Their speech becomes standard. So he realized, though, that there's a lot of stuff, even if that happens to you, if you end up in an elite place like Harvard, there's a lot of vocabulary, a lot of ways of pronouncing words that you just don't change. And there is vocabulary that you pick up in different parts of the country, and it never, you know, really occurs to you consciously or unconsciously to change that vocabulary. So he came up with a really long list of words to pronounce and questions to answer. Then he put that list as a survey up on a Harvard website in 2002. And he was amazed that in the next 2 years, 60,000 people took the survey. This was just phenomenal. There'd never been a linguistic survey that many people participated in.
Were they posting videos to him, or were they just taking it, writing down their answers to the questions and that sort of thing?
At the time, it was a multiple choice. It was just, do you say C-A-R-A-M-E-L with two syllables or with three syllables?
Caramel.
And then you can just check it off, right?
Caramel. Okay.
Exactly. And I'm spelling the word for you, although people got to see that word, but, you know, I'm just going to spell it for you.
How do you say it, Debbie? How do you say it?
I say caramel.
Caramel, yeah.
I think that's a Southern thing. I'm not sure. My mom was from Pittsburgh, but I was raised in Houston, so maybe there's a belt, you know. I don't really know. Maybe there's a line that divides
the top
belt? Of the...
Caramel caramel belt?
Yeah, there probably is. Oh, what was another one like that? Okay, R-O-O-F.
Roof.
I also say roof. My husband, who's from Wisconsin, says roof.
Oh, that's
me
funny.
Crazy. It's not exactly rough. It's not rough. It's more like roof.
Roof.
So that's what that list evoked. And what happened was, so then another linguist put it on his website in 2004. Then about a year later, social media was born on the internet, and people started putting stuff up on social media. Again, I mean, there weren't any videos at that time. People were just putting up these sort of checklist results, and it just kind of remained that way, sort of checklists and sort of like filling in little circles, you know, or checking off things and then discussing with people what your results were, because the idea was that you could tell where you were from. You know, there'd be this thing, well, if you said these things like this, then you're from Eastern Louisiana, you know, or you're from Minnesota.
Mm.
And then in 2011, all of a sudden, some people started reading the list and, you know, filming themselves and putting these videos on YouTube. And that's when it really took off.
Wow, the power of YouTube.
Yes. And it just became a performance. I noticed that, like, young women will often dress up when they do it. You know, they'll be kind of having, you know, I mean, it's a performance. They put on makeup. They wear sort of nice clothes. Some of them will lie on a bed while they do it, you know.
I have to say that I watched a bunch of these. And I think actually you sent me one of these. The woman who is knitting while she's doing her accent tag video just cracked me up so much. It's like sort of a lens into a whole other world, I felt, watching a bunch of these different tag videos.
My favorite ones are where you have a couple, you know, you have a couple who's clearly romantically involved, and it's like a date. And there's a lot of joking going on and just a lot of good-natured teasing. It's very, very sweet when two people have two different dialects and they get together and do it.
So this phenomenon hasn't just stayed in the United States. It's kind of gone global with the same, what I find interesting about it, it's the same corpus of words and the same set of questions, and they've gone global.
You see this really strange kind of mismatch between people who, you know, didn't grow up in the United States. Now, some of them, many of them are native speakers, but they're from places like Australia or Scotland or the Caribbean and, you know, English-speaking countries in Africa like Liberia. So there are a lot of elements of U.S. culture that are on that list that just don't compute for them. For example, the one that always stumps people is the question, what is it called when you throw toilet paper on a house? So, you know, people are doing pretty good when they're just trying to pronounce mayonnaise or
roof.
Caramel. But, yeah, when they get to this question about the toilet paper, now, you know, most Americans, they remember putting toilet paper on a house, right? I always called it wrapping a house. Y'all want to go wrap a house tonight? Let's have a slumber party and go wrap a house.
Wow, I've not heard that. Teepeeing, that's what I would, let's go teepeeing.
Well, these English speakers in other parts of the world don't have a clue.
I've lived my entire life here in China. I've never traveled to any foreign countries, not at all. So it's probably obvious that I have a Chinese accent. And here comes the questions. What is it called when you throw toilet paper on the house? Ew, that really grosses me out. Who would throw toilet paper on a house? That's really gross. I certainly have no idea what this question is about. Throwing toilet paper on a house? You gross.
I mean, it does actually put a fine lens on the act of throwing perfectly good toilet paper on somebody's house for a prank is extremely wasteful and is also such a strange cultural phenomena as well. It does make you think about, what did we do? Why did we do that?
Yeah, it's like definitely cultural interchange here, you know, hearing other people from other countries hearing their accent tags.
Why do you think this went so viral?
I think it went really viral because people love to think about how they speak. It's just, you know, it's a constant. I think it's almost universal cross-culturally. People like to think about how they speak, talk about how they speak. Generally, people make judgments about how other people speak. And, of course, you know, oh, you speak so beautifully, you sound so cultured, or that's just street talk, that's like jargon, that's trash talk, that shows you're not educated. And that's the way we're brought up, you know, in our grammar books. I remember when I was little, there was something about, you know, never say he learned me. I remember things in my grammar books in seventh grade that my mom used, and I was told, this is wrong. So that's called prescriptivism in linguistics, and people are brought up prescriptively in the popular culture about their language. And, you know, so people are very, on the one hand, insecure about their dialect, especially if they come from marginalized regions or races or ethnic groups or classes. And on the other hand, they're proud of how they talk, especially these people who do the YouTube videos. They're proud, and that's unusual.
I've watched, I don't know, I would say more than a dozen of them, and they're saying the same words and answering the same questions, but they're highly entertaining to watch, even though it's the same thing over and over again. But just seeing how people react to the specific words and just seeing how people from different cultures react to the specific words, there is something quite fascinating about it.
It's like watching the same play, you know, done a million different times by really good actors. Everybody's got their own style. And I think the other thing that you realize that you really get on a gut level when you hear these, and it doesn't really matter what country it is that a lot of these accents never end up in the media, in the mass media. We don't get to hear them very much. Which I think is a shame. You know, I think there are all kinds of judgments made in the mass media about what gets on the air, what gets on the radio, and what doesn't. And so it's really great to hear these accents. I mean, I've heard accents on those YouTube videos that I've never heard. I have just never heard them. And it's just wonderful. I mean, it's delicious to hear people speaking in places of the United States or the world, right, where maybe you know the school, the language that you learned in school, you know, whether it's your native language or your foreign language. But you've never heard people speak that way.
It's true. One of my favorites, and I'll just end with this, but this is the Jamaican video, and I think I send this to you. And the girl, first of all, she's very funny, but she's like,
now listen.
I'm Jamaican.
I'm a Jamaican.
I live in Jamaica.
Jamaica.
This is my accent.
I live in Jamaica. This? Jamaica. You know how some people say they're Jamaican, but they're not from Jamaica, like their parents are from Jamaica, so they're Jamaican? That's not me. I'm from here. I was born here. I've never been outside of Jamaica for a period longer than 4 weeks. I live here, you know? So any accent that I have would be a Jamaican accent because I am a Jamaican. This is my accent, Jamaican accent. You see?
Apparently she got a lot of comments like, you don't sound Jamaican, but she keeps pointing to the room. This is Jamaica. I am Jamaican. This is the way I speak.
and it was really nice.
And
it was really nice. And I think what I got out of that was that there are stereotypes about how people speak, how people with certain dialects speak. There are received stereotypes, and that's not really the way they speak. Necessarily. You know, there's all kinds of variety even in a dialect, depending on people's educational level, depending on, you know, who else they hang out with. So it's really great to hear somebody like her say, I am Jamaican. This is how I speak. Take it or leave it, guys.
So final question, Debbie, have you done one of these accent tag videos?
No, I have not done an accent.
Not yet.
I'm too old.
What do you mean you're too old?
I think you have to be, I mean, I've never seen one that has anybody over the age of about 25. Maybe, it's a youth culture deal, I
maybe
think.
You need to start the viral, like, I don't
yeah,
know
the
how old,
old one,
you are.
The senior citizens accent tag.
Senior citizens from Houston accent tag phenomena.
Right. Yes. Okay. I will take that under advisement.
Writer Debbie Nathan on the origins of accent tagging, and I'm going to post a link to her article. She wrote a really interesting detailed article about these origins on the language journal Schwafire. I'll link to that on the Facebook page, the World in Words Facebook page. Thanks so much, Debbie. I really appreciate it.
Okay. It was great. Thank you.
Bert?
Hi, is this Nina?
Yeah, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. If you just would, in a complete sentence, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Bert Vaux. I'm a professor at the University of Cambridge in England, and I developed the dialect survey that was the origin of the YouTube accent meme about 15 years ago.
Your last name is spelt V-A-U-X, but it's really pronounced Vaux.
Yep, it rhymes with hawks in my dialect.
That is amazing. And in radio parlance, we always use the vox pop.
Which... Yeah, I can already tell where you're from, roughly, Nina, by your pronunciation of that phrase.
Really?
Yep.
That was going to be the last part. I was going to test you, and I was going to do your very own. I mean, it's not quite the test that you created, but a variant of it. Mm-hmm. Well, first, I'm going to hold off. It's probably pretty apparent where I'm from. But when your quiz was put online, were you a bit surprised that it was as popular as it was?
I had hoped that many people would catch on because I was convinced that the questions were really interesting. They had always compelled me growing up. And one reason for thinking that was there was a one question survey designed by Alan McConchie at Caltech that was just for Coke, Pop, and Soda. And hundreds of thousands of people had taken that one question survey. Mm-hmm. So there was some evidence that people were willing to take that kind of thing.
Growing up, you said you were interested in these kinds of questions. What things did you notice growing up about the way different Americans spoke that made you curious?
It was a product of growing up in Houston, Texas, with a dad who was from New York and a mother who was from Indiana, and then moving to Chicago when I was 9. So, for example, I noticed that I always like to use you all to address a group of people. And I noticed when we moved to Chicago that you guys was what they used. And when we moved to England when I was 13, I was made fun of for those, and they used you lot instead. And I remember being confused when we moved to Chicago that they said pop, where I was used to saying Coke. You know, when you're a little kid, you don't realize that it's strange to call all carbonated beverages Coke. It's just what you say. And moving around made me start thinking about these things. And having a mother who said lawyer instead of lawyer got me interested in that kind of variation that distinguishes the middle and southern parts of Indiana from what you would hear in Chicago and the northern cities.
Wow. So essentially moving around as a kid and being the product of so many different places, your parents being from different places, put you on the path to becoming a linguist.
Yeah, definitely. And also living in Germany when I was 3 and being around Spanish in Texas, those got me really interested in how languages can differ.
Has anything surprising come out of these videos that you as a linguist didn't expect or that has made you reconsider certain issues or certain things about pronunciation, about accents?
I've been shocked at how many people who aren't native speakers of English have been willing to do the accent tag. And I'm always interested in what non-native speakers will pick for word choice in terms of whether those are British in origin or American in origin and where exactly in the U.S. or Britain they come from.
It is incredible that this meme has spread globally that has lots to say both about English in the world and maybe about YouTube in the world. But what it also points to me is just how culturally specific the questions that you had.
Good point. I designed the questions originally for the United States in particular. I have a new set of questions that's designed for English speakers around the world. So there you have things more like, what do you call the brake you use in a car with manual transmission? You know what that's called?
Like a handbrake?
Yeah. So handbrake, parking brake, e-brake. There, speakers of English across the whole world will have a term.
Huh.
Interestingly, though, there are a few phrases that show up across the world, regardless of native language. Like some of my Chinese students today were telling me that they often hear, oh my God, used inside Chinese conversations.
Wow. What's been the most surprising thing to come out of this meme for you personally?
For me, it's mainly a psychological effect. It's very bizarre to hear hundreds of thousands of random people across the globe answering questions that I came up with when I was in my 20s that were based on my college friends making fun of me for what I called things, or based on weird things my mother or my dad said. To me, they're sort of private things from my past, and now they've gone across the entire world, which is a little bit disturbing, but I guess nice also.
Have you done one yourself, Bert?
No, I'm a little bit afraid of what people would make of me, because I have an idiosyncratic accent, which is partly from growing up in Houston and Chicago, and then Boston, and then England, and partly from being an academic, so it's sort of nerdy, and then it's partly sort of autistic and monotonous, which are features that are independent of particular regions. So I'm not sure if people would know what to make of my accent, other than to be disturbed by it.
Oh, but that's the whole point of the accent tag video, or it seems like one of the points is to declare loudly, this is the way I speak, and I'm proud of it.
Yeah, that's a good feature of it, isn't it? I would like to do it and then give my linguistic comments on each of the answers so that people could see that the whole thing is not just a joke and is not just a popular fad, but it actually has some intellectual content to it that's of interest to people. Maybe one of these days I'll get around to it.
I hereby tag you, and you need to do
it. Oh, good. Yeah, no one's ever tagged me, Nina.
Do you mind if I take the test? Will you,
yeah, go ahead.
Will you analyze my accent?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I would like to preface this with the fact that I don't think I have an accent. Ha. Okay, so here are the words. Ant, roof, root, wash, oil, theater, iron, salmon, caramel, fire, water, sure, data, ruin, crayon, New Orleans, pecan, or pecan, I don't know, that one's hard, both, again, probably, spitting image, Alabama, lawyer, coupon, mayonnaise, syrup, pajamas, caught, naturally, aluminum, envelope. And the questions are, what is it called when you throw toilet paper onto a house? Well, it's called TPing in where I'm from. What is the bug that when you touch it curls into a ball, a roly-poly? What is the bubbly carbonated drink called? Soda. What do you call gym shoes? Probably tennis shoes, sometimes sneakers. It really would depend around who I was around. What do you say to address a group of people? Probably you guys. What do you call the kind of spider or spider-like creature that has an oval-shaped body and extremely long legs? A daddy long legs. What do you call your grandparents? Well, I called my paternal grandparents Nana and Pop-Up. I only had a maternal grandma, and I called her Grandma. What do you call the wheeled contraption in which you carry groceries at the supermarket? A shopping cart. What do you call it when rain falls while the sun is shining? This one I like, but I learned this later in life, a monkey's wedding. That's mm-hmm. what I like. What is the thing that you change the TV channel with? A remote control. And the last one, I have a question. What else would you call it besides a remote? A clicker, maybe? I don't know.
There are a few terms. I didn't actually come up with that question. That's the one thing in the accent tag that I didn't come up with.
Okay. So how did I do?
You largely had the responses that most Americans
sure.
would give. You have a few things that would help localize you to the western half of the country.
Yep.
When you pronounce V-O-X for voice.
Fox.
Yeah, that shows what we call the caught merger.
Uh-huh.
which merged in the particular way you pronounced it is characteristic of the western half of the U.S. You also had caramel, do I remember correctly,
yeah,
instead
caramel.
Of caramel?
Instead of caramel.
Yeah, so that again would mark you as being from the western half of the country in all likelihood. And what about a road that you go fast on?
Freeway.
Already you're starting to seem like you're from the West Coast in particular.
You must not be able to like actually listen to people often because you're hearing all these different things.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh, by the way, you said Monkey's Wedding when
yeah.
you were doing the accent tag.
Mm-hmm.
That is primarily found in South African and Zimbabwean English.
Oh, really?
So you must have picked it up from someone from one of those two places, I'm guessing.
That's funny. I might have, yeah, I might have. I have a colleague who also spent time in South Africa, and I think she said that once, and I picked that up from her. I had never had a term for that before, and I thought, oh, cool, now I have a new term.
That's one of the coolest phrases in the world as a whole, actually. So in the south of the U.S., there are a lot of people who have variants of the devil's beating his wife, like the devil's beating his wife behind the back door, or the devil's beating his wife with a codfish. And you also find that same expression in parts of France and in parts of Syria. You find Fox's Wedding in Japan and parts of Wales. And the list goes on and on. It's normally some kind of wedding or some kind of giving birth of some kind of unexpected animal or human, like a widow or a witch.
Hmm. Well, so your then diagnosis is that I'm from the West.
Yes, you didn't
further.
Give any terms that would localize you more than the West Coast. I can ask you a few more things.
Sure.
That might help. So one that is very good for outing people from Oregon is, what does the word spendy mean?
Oh, I have no idea.
In Oregon, that means expensive.
Oh, really? That's very cute. Spendy.
So within California, the main ones I tend to rely on with regular people are what you call the freeways, like the 405 and the 5 and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You know about that?
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you say?
Well, I would say PCH and I would say the 405.
Okay. So that would mark you as being from the southern half of California, I would guess.
Correct. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I get in trouble a lot, or I've gotten lots of weird looks because I currently live in Boston, for saying the 90.
Yeah.
Which everybody's like, what is the 90? It's the turnpike or the pike. So I've gotten a lot of funny looks sometimes for that. Well, Bert Vox, thank you so much for giving me the accent quiz. It's not often that one gets to meet the person who sparks something that goes viral.
Well, it definitely helps me feel better about my relations with my classmates from college, from when they made fun of me for saying gym shoes instead of sneakers and Coke instead of pop and soda. Thanks, Nina. And you are right that you don't have all that many West Coast features left anymore.
Yeah, it's sad. That's what happens after living for 10 years on the East Coast. It just sort of wipes it all out.
But Nina, what about when you turn your car around on the road to go the opposite direction and you do it very suddenly? What would you call that?
Like a sudden U-turn?
Yeah, but more colloquially than that.
Flip a bitch? That's what,
yeah.
Like, is that a bad?
Yeah, that's it.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's the California term.
Okay. Oh, I feel so I am part of it. Part of the place.
I have another one for you like that, Nina. Mm. The middle seat in a car, what do you call it?
Oh, you call that the bitch, too.
Yeah, so that's mainly a California
that's
thing,
That's not
too.
Everywhere? Not everybody thinks about that as, like, I
no,
got a bitch.
No.
It's such a bad term, too. You always feel a little naughty saying it. Well, Bert, thanks so much. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, well, thanks for calling, Nina. Nice chatting with you.
Linguist Bert Vox. Yes. It doesn't get better than that. His original dialect survey sparked the accent tag meme that went viral around the world. If you have a few minutes to burn, I strongly suggest you go to YouTube and just type in accent tag, watch a couple videos. They're pretty addicting. And then maybe do the quiz yourself. Consider yourself tagged. And that's all for today. Keep sending me your etymological questions. What nagging questions do you have about the origins of a certain word? Writer and linguist Erica Okrent has graciously said she would answer all of your etymological questions, so keep sending them in. We're collecting a bunch now so we can do a bigger podcast about that soon. Message me at the World in Words Facebook page, or you can even call 617-903-8818, 617-903-8818. I'm Nina Porzucki. I'm on Twitter, at Porzucki. That's P-O-R-Z-U-C-K-I. Thanks for listening. Be back soon.
What is it called when you throw toilet paper on a hearth? I've never heard of anyone doing that, but do you know what? See if someone threw toilet paper at my hearth. Do you know what I would call it? Damn right naughty, mate. Naughtiness or liberty taking. That's what I would say, mate. Right?
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, exploring the human endeavor.